Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
I think it would be good to give thanks for God's goodness and pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the very many ways that you bless us. And we just want to pray that you would help us to give our very hearts, Lord. So as we give these gifts, I pray, Lord, that they would be from a glad and a sincere heart. And that you would use these gifts for the extension of your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, this is it. Welcome to the first ever Christmas in this lovely building. Now, we've heard a number of firsts, and I'm sure that we all have special firsts of our own. Some firsts might be planned. I know perhaps you might remember planning your first trip to London. Other trips might just happen. Perhaps the first time you said, okay, Google, or you talk to your computer. Other firsts will fill us with eager anticipation. I don't know, like a first date. Or other firsts might fill us with dreaded trepidation. Like a first date. Well, I'm going to continue with this theme of firsts. Because I think there's a lot that we can learn from them. Like, did you know that our firsts are used to identify us? I don't know how many of you do online banking. Yeah? So when you rock up to the app or to the web page, the bank needs to know that it's really you. How can they do that? I mean, they might be hundreds, probably thousands of miles away. How do they know it's you logging into the bank? Well, they test you by asking you your firsts. Hey, things that perhaps only you know. What was the name of your first pet? Yeah? Or what was your first school called? Another one they might ask is, what was the first film you ever saw at the cinema? Now, those aren't particularly important, but they are significant to you. Well, I'm going to jump right at the deep end and suggest to you what the most important first is. And we've had a hint of it already. And that is when you first believe. When you first believe. Now, I remember the first Christmas as a Christian for me. Now, year after year, I would see these cars with little baby Jesus in a manger. Year after year, I would arrange the nativity characters with the little baby Jesus in the middle, just like these cartoons or on a card. But then, there came a year when I realized that this baby Jesus was an actual, real person. But more than that, he is God of the universe. Now, that doesn't mean that he is a God way out there, but he's a God also very close. One of my favourite songs that we sing here is You Hear Me When I Call. Do you know that song? I don't know if you notice how this song demonstrates how God is surrounding us. Okay, it goes like this. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Hey, this is an amazing God. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Such a big God all around us. But there's more. There's more. It goes on to say, the one who reigns forever, he's a friend of mine. Can you believe it? He's a friend of mine. Little me. So, No longer is Christmas just an event from ancient history. It's an event that brought me my salvation. Wow. It's an event that lives with me day by day. As the song goes, he is always by my side. Now, some of you might think that I'm running away with the fairies here. This guy's on cloud cuckoo land. I don't know. But I can assure you that none of us are immune from the harsh realities of life. And it is at this point that I'm reminded of another first that is all too common. And that is perhaps your first Christmas alone. See, it could be that for some of you, this might be the first Christmas without a loved one. Here's an old number that might be on your Christmas playlist. Hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a common song. But if that is true, then I will suggest to you that the flip side is also true. That is, when loved ones are gone, it's the most miserable time of the year. Well, dear friends, it is possible, genuinely possible, to make Christmas meaningful yet again, even though it's not necessarily the Christmas that you'd hoped for. Now, take time to think about what Christmas really means to you, and don't be pressurized into living up to what the media or what society would have you do. You see, some people, they want to celebrate Christmas as before, as possibly the best way to remember their loved ones. Others might not want to celebrate Christmas at all. The point is that different people cope in different ways, and that is absolutely fine. You see, there's no getting away with it. Christmas is a lonely time for many people. Okay, for them, I guess it's like being dragged through the mill year after year. But you know, you don't have to go it alone. You know, the Bible says that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who is this friend? It's the one who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. You see, the Lord promises to stay with us through thick and thin. Listen to this promise. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you go through the fire, you will not be burned. You see, this is what makes Christmas so very special, is because it is the incarnation of those promises. Yeah, remember how his birth was foretold? It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay, this is what Christmas is all about. And so he says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And everyone needs to know that. Everyone. Not just as a verse in the Bible. Not just as some nice lyrics in a song. But as a truth in our hearts, a truth in our minds. This is very real. This is lifelong, tangible reality. I'm not talking virtual reality. I'm not talking augmented reality or some sort of alternative reality. It's quite simply actual reality. That the God of the universe is by my side. But don't use God's promises as a get-out clause for fulfilling your neighborly responsibilities. You still need to be there for that friend in need, especially at this time of year. Who knows? You could create for someone the first Christmas in a long time that isn't utterly unbearable. I think that when we look back, we need to maintain a sense of perspective. You see, you might enjoy a warm glow within when you remember the past with fondness. But let's not get consumed with looking back to the good old days. The good old days. Well, you know, the Bible has some very telling advice about not harping back to the past. It says, do not say, why were the good old days better than these? For this is not a wise question to ask. So said King Solomon, who was world renowned for being really, really wise. See, when things get tough, it is tempting to go down memory lane. And this is exactly what the Israelites did. Now, when they were in the desert, they grew tired of this miracle manna. And they looked back to Egypt and thought, ooh, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlics, and without cost. Without cost. Might that have been because they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years? You see, the reason why the past is so alluring is because we often look back with these rose-tinted glasses. And these Israelites, they had these rose-tinted glasses when they looked back to Egypt. But in addition to this, they were also very selective in the good times that they chose to remember. Yes, they remembered all this tasty food, but somehow they didn't remember how God delivered them through the Red Sea. See, the sheer wonder of that amazing deliverance has somehow been eroded from their memories. Perhaps it was through the harsh conditions of the desert that experience, I know, it somehow didn't feel real anymore for them. You see, the passage of time has this awful tendency of grinding us down. See, many of our firsts will have happened many, many years ago. A lot of water will have passed under the bridge. And generally, it's a good thing to have moved on in life. But there is a first that the Lord Jesus warns us against never leaving behind. And this is revealed to us in the last book of the Bible. And it says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men. And that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary. Sounds to me like the ideal church. But verse 4 says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. So, you might be doing some really good things. You might be a genuinely good hard worker. You haven't given up. This is good. Long may it continue. But while it is good to soldier on, to advance through thick and thin, it is important that you never forget your roots. So you may remember your first this, or you may remember your first that, but do you remember your first love for Jesus? Do you still love the Lord Jesus as much as you do as when you first believed? Do you remember when you couldn't get enough of his word? When time seemed to fly by when you prayed? When you couldn't help but tell others about your daily discoveries about God? When God was number one in your heart? Another favorite song of mine puts it this way, really nice. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. Isn't that beautiful? See, when someone starts out, I know, perhaps with bucketfuls of enthusiasm, you know, some might brush them aside and say, you're just going through a honeymoon period. They'll soon come back down to earth. Is it possible to love the Lord Jesus day after day, year after year, with the love that we had at first? Well, I don't see any time limits in the first and greatest commandment. You may know it. That is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Love him with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second greatest command, after you have loved the Lord your God for 6 months, you can ease off a bit. After a year, you can take your foot off the pedal. Anything beyond 3 years, you can just go into autopilot. Does the Bible say that? No, of course not. And yet, how many of us are guilty of just going through the motions of a loveless relationship? You know, we know to stand up during the songs. We say amen after the prayers, or we count the bricks during the sermon. I noticed that there are no bricks at the front of this building. But to be brutally honest with yourself, would it be fair to say that your love for God is a bit on and off? Perhaps your love for God is, a bit shallow. Well, if this is so, then you have barely scratched the surface of God's unfathomable depths. See, there is so much more to God than can be squeezed into a box. Now, in many respects, we do need to move on into maturity, but we must never, ever leave behind the love that we had at first. So, how can we get back on track? Well, the revelation goes on to say, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Now, you know yourself if your devotion today is just a shadow of your devotion when you first started out. For this, we need to repent. Now, repent is an old word. We tend not to use it from day to day. What does it mean? Well, to repent is more than just being sorry, though it certainly involves that. And it's not just a change of heart. Crucially, repentance is a change in direction. It's to do a 180-degree turn away from your wayward ways back to the heart of God. Now, that revelation, it was addressed to this church in Ephesus. And I think it's significant that when Paul signed off his letter to this church in Ephesus, he wrote this: grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. An undying love. A love that doesn't fade. Are we growing ever deeper in love, or are we growing cold? You see, it is this undying love that we need to foster. I would want to instill a sense of urgency about getting right with God again. See, the Bible points out that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Time is running out. My time is running out. I need to draw this message to a close. So let me leave you with two takeaways. First, practical takeaway for those who are unsure. Now, it wasn't the first time that the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. They did it every night. But it certainly was the first time that they heard this angelic choir in the sky. And perhaps in the same way, perhaps this isn't your first time in church. Maybe you come to church week in, week out. Perhaps you're sitting there thinking, this is just another Sunday. This is not just another Sunday. Or at least, it doesn't have to be. See, although it's kind of special that this is the first Christmas in this lovely building, it would be extra, super special if this were the first Christmas that you heard God's voice calling you by name. You see, this little baby Jesus didn't remain a little baby. See, when he grew up, he said, come to me, all who are weary, tired, Perhaps you've had enough. You're ready to throw in the towel. Come to me, all who are burdened, perhaps with anxiety, untold pressures, or burdened with a load of guilt. Jesus said, come to me with all your problems, and I will give you rest. Now that call of Christ is just as true and relevant today as it was when he said it 2,000 years ago. Whether it's frantic last minute Christmas shopping, whether it's stressing over getting the Christmas dinner ready, or the general busyness of life in general, don't underestimate the beauty, the blessedness of real rest. Okay, we all need rest. Even God rested after 6 days of creation. And the practical takeaway number two is for those who have already heard God's call and who have come to Jesus for rest. To you, I would say, don't rest on your laurels. You can always rely on Santa to bring a bit of Christmas cheer. Ho, ho, ho. But as a Christian, there is so much more that you can bring to the party than a few moments of cheer. So at this time of giving, why not give some of your time? So I recently heard of a campaign that ITV are running called 1 Million Minutes. Don't know if you've heard of that. But it's to encourage all of us to give as little as 30 minutes of our time to help someone who is lonely. And so within that short half hour, you could easily share the greatest gift of all. And that is by shining the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true message of Christian, into the hearts who are lost or broken. Why not join that in that angelic choir of old and say, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. You say, we have this amazing message of peace. How can we not share it with others? And Christmas is the perfect opportunity to talk about Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.